I'm Jenna.
And I'm Stephanie.
And you are listening to Pastors' Wives Tell All,
a podcast by pastors' wives for church leaders and anyone desiring to take a peek inside our glass house.
We are breaking down walls and crushing pastors' wives' stereotypes within the church.
We want pastors' wives and other ministry leaders to know that they are not alone in this. Plus, this is basically therapy for the three of us with a whole lot of dance parties. Woo, 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 woo.
Hey, friends.
Welcome back to Pastors' Wives Tell All, where we tell all, in case you weren't sure.
Yes, welcome. Welcome, guys.
Welcome.
Thanks for welcoming
everyone, Stephanie.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So I wonder if people they're just like, why? Why are they the way they are? Like, I wonder if they shake their heads at us sometime.
I am very confident that there are those people. And they either turn us off or they're like, but I want to listen still.
But they're just dumb enough.
It's like when you're watching a train wreck.
Yeah.
It's like, it's bad, but also... you can't take your eyes off of it.
But you know? Watch Train Trek?
Train Trek? I literally just thought to myself, a train wreck? Man, people use that word all the time, but that's like really traumatic.
I know. But apparently not, people watch it, you know? That must be where the saying came from, I guess.
Who are the people? Who are they?
I don't know.
Speaking of people.
Yes.
We're going to talk about a certain type of people.
Yeah.
So we posted a quote not terribly too long ago on Instagram, and it got mixed feedback. Mm. And it said, hey, pastor, if you have a bodyguard and you leave the church before people can talk to you, I think you have forgotten who is king and the only one who should be worshiped. Let's humble ourselves and remember we are here to serve, not be served. So I think the first thing we need to do is talk about the heart behind that post and why we even put it there. And I know, Jessica, you were the one mm-hmm. who had this idea. Mm-hmm. So why don't you start sharing with your thoughts first?
Gosh, the world of social media is so just strong. And I think I was just getting so tired of watching social media pastors and with their chains and their Gucci and mm-hmm. all of their things.
Their sneakers.
And sneakers and their sneakers. And I also want to preface that none of those things are bad.
Right.
Okay. They're not bad. But I think that the church world has become this higher than life society that only a few can be a part of. Mm-hmm. And if you are famous and you are a famous pastor, then you look a certain way, you're doing certain things. And I just remember, like, I've seen pastors on movies, on like documentaries and that kind of stuff. They're walking around with their nose up in the air. They're hanging out with Hollywood stars. They're doing all of these things. And I'm like, where is Jesus? Because the only one I hear you talking about is yourself and the world. And what you put on is the world. And none of the things, the sneakers are not bad, all of that, it's not bad. But like, when did we start to elevate the pastors to this high, high place that they were never meant to be on? That yeah. place is for Jesus. But I think that we have put them there.
Yeah.
Because of social media, mm-hmm. because of just the hype around big mega churches. I don't know. I don't know where it came from. I don't know where it started. If y'all do, tell me. But I just think it's become really unhealthy in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And also, before we start talking about this, I feel like we're going to have to preface a lot of things for this episode, is when I say mega church, also know that if you are in a mega church, please do not throw stones at me. I'm not saying anything against a mega church.
In fact, Jenna
yeah.
is a part yeah. of one.
Yes.
Yeah.
But there are some, just like there are at little churches, mm-hmm. big churches, mega churches, that there's unhealthy habits yeah. happening.
Yeah.
And so if we're not talking about you and we're not talking about your church, and we're not going to name any other churches because that's gossip and we're not going to do it. The heart of what we're wanting to do is to remind the church as a whole that Jesus is king and not the pastor that sits as right. the position of yeah. a pastor. Right?
Yeah, you're right. And I just want people to understand that just because we say, give an example in a quote on Instagram, that doesn't mean that we're just doing a blanket statement. I think it's meant to grab attention on purpose, but really to pull you into the heart behind it.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we'll even explain that a little bit more in the caption. But for this one in particular, we did want to respond to a few comments that we got and maybe explain a little bit more. And one of them I thought was actually done very well. She gave some constructive criticism, but did it kindly, and it was just something else to think about. So I'd love for us to respond to it. She said, just to offer another perspective, growing up as a PK, we received threats on more than one occasion. People aggressively coming up to us after services, getting too close, and even people bringing firearms to church over the years. Someone also put sugar in our engine once. Sometimes the security guard is really that. Security. When your heart is to serve people from all walks of life, you can encounter things that make you want to be cautious. Also, not everyone who pastors is an extrovert. This doesn't mean they don't talk to their people on other days, but it may be hard for them to make small talk and deliver a sermon on the same day. That shouldn't disqualify them from ministry. I think there's grace for different types of people. I agree with the heart of the post. Just think we should address the heart, not the specifics, since we don't always know the why. And she put a heart. And this person still follows us. Yeah. She's very kind. And so I really actually very much appreciate her just, you know, being a little iron sharpens iron. Yeah. Give us something else to think about.
Yeah, there are actually parts of that comment that I do agree with. I know that, you know, especially for pastors who are pastoring a very large megachurch, maybe with multiple campuses, especially if the heart behind the church is good, and there's going to be spiritual warfare, obviously, but I just think that there are going to be those people who do attack the pastor.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether it's with words, whether it's on social media, whether it's, I mean, as serious as what she's talking about, like bringing a gun, horrible. Like, oh my goodness. And I totally get that. Also, if you know the heart behind the pastor, I mean, maybe not all people know the heart behind the pastor. I feel like I very much trust my pastor 100%. And I know that he has been in a position before where there was a while where he had to take some precautions. Mm-hmm. But I know that his heart is not to stay away from the people in the church.
Right.
So I don't know. I think there's a time and a place. And I think it depends on the situation and the person. Mm-hmm. Like she said. But I really do. Yeah. I mean, I agree with that.
I was just going to say, like, I'm sorry that you went through that. Gosh, like, I remember when she commented, I was just like, wow, that's really happening.
Hard.
And I'm sure it's happening to a lot of people.
That's scary stuff.
And that's scary. And so we 100%, I think, like, I know when we've talked about it, when we did do this post, like, yeah, you'll have to just know that. Just know the heart behind why we're doing what we're doing. And I do think that God has allowed us this platform to also bring light to things that have been in the dark for a long time. And I do believe that there is a time and place, like Jenna said, that if we need some security, then you get some security.
Yeah.
And I do also agree that I think she made a very good point about introverted pastors.
Yeah.
I think that you have to figure out how to work with that, mm-hmm. you know, but I do not believe that every pastor needs a bodyguard or right. a person. You know, I think you're in that position, you know what's coming. You might not know what is going to happen once you're in it, but like if you're at a mega church, then you got to figure out and work with your staff in order to figure out how can we best make sure that I can be a part of the people, mm-hmm, you know, yeah. and come up with creative ideas. I'm like, hey, as a staff, like, can some of us, like the associate pastor and the pastor this week, go stand at the door and just, you know, greet people or wait until like a crowd is out and then go greet, you know, like come up with mm-hmm. things where they're accessible.
Like, almost like a rotation.
Yeah. Right, you know, right. something, because I do believe that there are a lot that go up to speak and it's more about them being seen than Jesus mm-hmm. being seen.
Yeah.
And that's really the heart of what we want to talk about today is where did we go wrong? Mm-hmm. I don't think either three of us are going to be able to answer where we went wrong, but how moving forward as a church and as a church people and staff, how do we hold our churches accountable to this? How do we make sure that our churches don't become this? That I think is the bigger question.
Well, I think that it is all about how it is structured within the church. Like, I know, just I can only speak for my church, but there is a whole group of people mm-hmm. that he is held accountable to.
Yeah.
And they have access to anything he has. Mm-hmm. And so, and they have full permission to call him out on anything yeah. at any time that, you know,
right.
they want to. And he's like, that's how it is. This is what I do. I'm here to serve God. So I know that I'm going to need that accountability. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's huge to have a support system behind you yes. that is holding you accountable to that.
Yeah. So let's take that. That's the first point. Let's take that and talk through this. Pastors in a lot of churches, and that even we've been a part of before, have the pastors are not held accountable
right.
for sin. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about how can we do better at that as a church.
I grew up in the kind of church where the pastor was the main man. Mm-hmm. Everything went through him. Right. He was the main boss, but not just the main boss. He was the boss.
Yeah.
And the buck stopped with him. Mm. But, I get that the pastor is the lead shepherd of yeah. the church, but it was taken to a very unhealthy mm-hmm. ground, I believe. Because many of those pastors, since I was a child, have been found out to be pedophiles mm-hmm. or to be mistreating women in the church mm-hmm. or like a bunch of other awful things because there was no accountability.
Yeah.
And I think you need other elders mm-hmm. around you
yeah.
yep.
to that have full access mm-hmm. to say, hey, don't think that's a wise idea, no matter what it is. Yeah. And not just sin, but like all of it. You need a team.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. I have seen the other side mm-hmm. when they don't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're like little kings.
Yeah.
And they sit up on the platform and their chairs and they get up and it's all about them. Yeah. And during the meetings, if someone disagrees at a business meeting, yeah. they're shut down. Like, I've seen that really
yeah.
unhealthy pattern and it is never good.
Yeah. I was just going to say, how we do it as a staff, and we've never seen this done as well. We came from a church that was very unhealthy on staff, and the pastor was he made all of the decisions and he ran it more like a dictatorship than, mm-hmm. you know, a team. And so no one held him accountable. And if someone did try to graciously say something, they were shut down. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we have put a lot of narcissists as pastors mm-hmm. that should like never be doing
right.
what they're doing because they sounded real good. And evil can look real good
mm-hmm.
until it gets in a position and then they wreak havoc in people's lives. Mm-hmm. So I think that the first thing is, I think we need to do a better job as a church of praying and fasting over the people that we put into yep. leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have seen churches really like the way a pastor preaches, but know nothing about his character,
right.
nothing about how he treats his family and how mm-hmm. life is
right.
outside of the church. And that's not right. Hey friend, we will get right back to our episode, but we want to take a moment and thank our patrons. You guys keep our podcast going.
If you are not a patron and you would like to consider donating to our podcast ministry, we would be so grateful, and we might even do a happy dance.
When you become a patron, you get perks like being the first to hear about special info and retreats. You get bonus episodes, monthly devotionals, lock screens, and more.
Plus, we have added a new $1 tier for those who believe in us and what we're doing, just because you love us.
So head on over to our show notes and click on the Patreon link to learn more. Now let's get back to our episode.
Well, it kind of makes me think about another comment we had on here. And this one does sound unhealthy. It says, I went to a church once where the pastor came in escorted by security to his reserved seat mm-hmm. in the front. And it was during the first worship song so that no one bothered him. And she says, I only stayed at that church for a few months, not by choice. The Lord had me learn a lot of very valuable lessons there mm-hmm. before he moved me on. But that sounds like, okay, we're going to, and maybe he slipped out
mm-hmm.
before anybody could talk to him yeah. as well. And I think like that seems a little
Somebody along yeah. the way probably gave him way too much credit.
Oh, yeah.
And way too much power. Mm-hmm. And that's where things go wrong. And I was going to say back when, just a minute ago, so I can remember the last time our staff had an issue, and the staff, you know, during staff meeting was able to share. Each person went around the table and let them know and talk to Jonathan about a decision that was made and how they felt about it, and that they wished it would have been handled differently. Mm. And was it uncomfortable? Was it fun? Did anybody enjoy that meeting? Absolutely not. Like, we could have all crawled under our own tables and been fine. But I think it was so beautiful that what was in each other's hearts and the struggle, like, that they were able to get that out and felt comfortable enough, even if it was hard, to share and hold Jonathan accountable to something, mm-hmm. and go, we wish you would have handled that different, or wish you would have come to us, or whatever. And so it was, and then for them to listen to Jonathan's heart, because once they heard his heart and they knew, which they knew it all along, but to hear like his thinking, because a lot of times pastors are making decisions that we never know, like the effects that he's seeing around the whole mm-hmm. picture. We just see how it's making us feel in the moment.
Yeah.
But what we came to the table and figured out that yes, next time we saw where things could change with communication, and it helped. And Jonathan didn't think he was too high for his little, you know, like, oh, don't tell me what to do mm-hmm. or shut them down. He listened. Right. It was uncomfortable, but he did it. And it's like one of my most proudest moments, because when you go through conflict, you see what kind of man you actually have leading your people. Mm-hmm. And I want a humble man.
Yeah.
Now, is he always humble at home when we have a conversation? No. No, neither am I, but that is for another day. But I think, Jenna, I think that's the first point, is holding your yeah. pastors and your staff mm-hmm. accountable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And somewhere along the way, we gave them too much power. So I think, like what Stephanie said, an elder, like elder board needs to be a board, but these don't need to be yes men. I think that's what I saw in our unhealthy church. We had yes men. And most of those men, I think you also need to be very careful that you don't make the board and the elders. It is picked by the popularity.
Yeah.
Because if they're not reading their Bible,
right,
treating their wives well, spending time with their children and doing all the things according to the scripture, then they need to go sit in the seat and find Jesus first.
Right.
But you have a lot of them and the deacons and the elders mm-hmm. and the popularity, and they're called yes men and also not biblical men, yeah. godly men.
Or yes women.
Yeah.
Because there's both.
And we're letting them make decisions and hold a pastor accountable. Of course.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to happen with that. So I think that's the first point is holding a pastor accountable. I think the other point is we also, I think just the church body, the mindset, we need to radically change the way we look at a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the big thing, because the church, because of social media and popularity and fan pages, like, I think that we just look at that person and we're like, oh my goodness, I love everything he's saying. I'm going to go to his church, you know, but you have no clue what he does off stage.
Mm-hmm.
He could be literally abusing his wife, or be a narcissist and have the most prettiest words up on that stage that sound very godly. Mm-hmm. Or he could just be a very godly man. So either way, but I think as a church, we have to transform our minds to be praying for our pastors, first of all,
mm-hmm.
but also to be able to stop putting them on a pedestal. Because somewhere along the way, what we're saying is they were put on a pedestal, like we always say, that they were never meant to be on. So how do we transform our minds as the church body that might be sitting out there going like, well, I'm just, you know, one of the 1,000 that's part of the church. How am I going to make a difference?
I think one thing is when the pastor preaches, you make sure you are actually opening the word mm-hmm. and you are reading above and after and around the verses he's reading, and keep him accountable that way. If you see red flags or you're going, that's not what that's saying. Or I think we have to be studying ourselves mm-hmm. because if you're just taking in everything he says, you're literally feeding the monster too
right.
of like, oh, of course he said it, so I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I say that even the pastors that I do trust and love, I want to always go back. And yes. I do. I mean, there's been times I've questioned my own husband before. Yeah. I've been like, yeah. Well, what about this? Or what about that? But once again, that's us sharpening each other. And like my husband likes that though. I mean, he wants to hear feedback. Mm-hmm. And I get if you're a pastor that doesn't like feedback, then that's a problem.
Yeah.
But I would say to keep your word open. Know what it says.
Yeah, I love that stuff. I do think that we also have to think about giving people the benefit of the doubt, because I think there are a lot of people who might see a post on social media and immediately their mind goes to something negative, like, oh, well, just because that pastor is hanging out with this celebrity means that he's not bad. Yeah. Like that he's bad.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, I'm like, well, that's kind of cool, because there's a lot of celebrities, y'all, that need some Jesus. What I'm saying? And so if there is a chance that pastor is able to reach somebody who is in that world, then by all means, like, let's give them the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
Because first of all, I mean, we talk about it all the time. We're all human. Mm-hmm. Pastors are human. So I feel like unless you got some hardcore evidence, then give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
But like we said earlier, make sure there's some sort of system in place at your churches. Make sure you're checking everything with the Bible, because that's what's real. Yeah. And what else?
I love that. Well, I love what you said, Jenna. I think like it's remembering that they're human.
Right.
Like, I think that's perfect, because I think that we can even get judgmental of what we see and all of that. And there might be hardcore evidence, but I think a lot of times we put a wall up and go, well, you know, they're a name and a claim it, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And they might very well be. And we could probably all think of people in our heads that we don't think are doing the right things and are, you know, using their position for not good. Mm-hmm. But I think that if we maybe transform the way we see them, like you're saying, and just remembering they're human, that we maybe turn that judgment into just a prayer for them and start praying for them. Because the thing is there are some people out there that are doing some very bad things, but if they knew and truly had a relationship with Jesus for the right reasons, they could just be doing so much amazing things. Mm-hmm. You know, and some of those people, like, they just need transformation. Yeah. And if we start praying for them and praying that God will move in a mighty way in their lives, then, you know, we're doing our part instead of being judgmental and, you know, and getting in fights and in wars over what pastor, what worship group is bad, what, you know, oh my gosh, I just saw something the other day about someone not listening to a worship band because of this. I get it. I mean, but here's the thing. We are, like Jenna just said, we're all human and we're all falling short. And if it doesn't work for you, that's okay. But sometimes you don't have to tell everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the caveat to that.
Yeah.
This is what Jessica's not saying, that I think some people are going to think she's saying. She's not saying that if there is a person, a man, for instance, who is doing, I don't know, sexual misconduct, and it is very much out in the open and needs to be addressed. She's not saying you ignore that and you just pray for him.
Right.
Yeah. Those people need help.
Absolutely.
Whoever he's abusing need help. 100%. And he needs to be taken out of that position. 100%. Right. So that's not what she's saying.
Yeah.
She's talking more in general. We're scrolling around on social media. These are pastors we don't even know. And we just making judgment calls. Mm-hmm. Now, if you know, because you're a witness, or you are there, and I think that action needs to be taken, because there are plenty of people in churches being spiritually, mentally, emotionally abused.
Yeah, 100%, for sure. Well, and I love like what you said, like if you know to hold them accountable, like if you know and you have proof of something to hold them accountable. Yeah. I mean, I have a friend in my life that I know, like she was at a larger church, but she thought one thing about that church, but then when she heard other things being said, she went directly to the pastor to find out the information, because your pastor should be available to you. Now, that doesn't mean that he's going to be able to drop everything on drop of a hat and just come beck and call, but you schedule a time to meet with him and you ask him, hey, this is what you said. this is what scripture says, or mm-hmm. it might be very gray and you're like, what does this mean? And talk through it, especially if you're preaching and saying one thing, you know, in meetings and everything, but then you're preaching another thing on the pulpit. Like, and her, she had to make the decision. Am I going to leave this church because what they're preaching is not what they're saying behind the scenes, mm-hmm. or do I stay? Yeah. You know, and she made that decision to leave. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the big thing. Like Stephanie said, you have to test what is being spoken from the pulpit. You have to, with scripture, not with your opinion, but you have to test it. And I think that's huge in this thing. But I love, Jenna, what you said. You have to pray for them. We all have our judgmental moments, but we have to pray. That has to be our number one thing of remembering they're human. But also, the last thing, as Stephanie is talking about, there are some pastors that we know of and are in these churches, and we hear from our community group, that are narcissists, they're abusive. And so let's end like talking about how do we guide these people of figuring out when it's time to leave, and to stop putting that pastor on a pulpit. And who cares if it's a famous person or a person that you really like the church, but the pastor's not good. What do you do with that? You know, when is it time to leave?
I think that we need to start paying attention to things like red flags. So, because I think they're just what we're talking about too. We have a community group on Facebook with lots of pastors' wives, ministry leaders, and it's all women. And many of these will put in these anonymous posts and flat talking about how their husband is physically, emotionally, mentally abusing them at home, but they have no one they can go to because nobody would believe them, because their husband is so good at being charismatic and caring to other people. And the thing is, what we have to realize is narcissists are very charming. Mm-hmm. Let's just get real. They're really good at making everybody think something. But I think if you watch their family, watch their wife or husband or whatever, and watch for those little bit of red flags. I've gone down the rabbit hole of narcissism and just all of that and how it's come to the church. And I've just been thinking, okay, I think I need to be watching these wives. Do they cower? Do they hide? Do they, and I'm not saying, cause some are introverted and that's one thing, but there is a difference. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to be looking for things and not be blinded to it. Mm-hmm. Pay attention to what your pastor's doing at home. Yeah. And if he never invites you over, or if he does and something doesn't feel right, don't ignore that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and not just with his family, but I'm just saying in general, how does he treat the people directly under him? Because once again, usually the targets are people that are close. Mm-hmm. And of course, he's going to look great to the people above him, whoever those are. But anybody who's directly under that first line, those are usually the targets as well. Yeah. Watch them. Mm-hmm. See their reactions. Mm-hmm. Just in general, I just think we need to open our eyes.
Yeah.
I think everything you said was just great. The only thing I was going to add is also like, you know, watch the kids too, you know, not just the wives, but watch the kids and how they interact or don't interact ever with their dads. You know, because I've seen that in my life. I watch the kids if they're, you know, now some kids, they got some attitudes and they're not going to be living on their parents anyway. So don't go all, but are they scared? Do they look at them a certain way? Like, you know, do they talk about their kids? Do they go to things? Are their kids involved, you know, and I'm not saying they have to be involved for the parents to be good. That's not what I mean.
Don't hear what she's not saying.
Yeah, don't hear what I'm not saying. But like, are they involved in their kids' lives?
Yeah.
Because I think also like if the dad or the wife is more involved in the church and does nothing with their family, you know, and I think honestly it's going to be really hard for a lot of people to see that because they're not in their inner circle.
Right.
So I think that's the hard thing is, we can't see the inside into the glass house a lot of times. We can only make a judgment call from, you know, church. So I think like the hard thing is,
well, and if you're never
ever seeing your pastor outside of church, that could be a red flag. If he's not spending time with people, and I'm not saying just one small group, but like multiple people are seeing him outside of the church.
Yeah.
That could be, I mean, to me, that's a little bit of a red flag too, because what are you hiding?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we're supposed to be here to minister, and how can you minister to people if you're never around
with
them?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think this has been really good discussion. I think, like, when you said stuff about a narcissist pastor, I think we could have a whole, you know, episode just on that.
We could have multiple.
Yeah.
It'd be a series.
And I think it's just, it's out there so much right now. And I think it's so scary. And if you're out there, first of all, and you're listening and you're going, that's my husband or that's my wife, you know, like, get help. I think that you have to get to the point where you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, but also know that, like, your health, your safety, the safety and the health of your children are more important than the pedestal that he is on.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Steph.
And because I wanted to say this because I know some women are going, that sounds great.
Yeah.
I want to do that, but no one would believe me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
literally no one would believe me. We believe you.
Yeah.
And if you need to reach out and we need to, like, get you in touch with some people who can help. Mm-hmm. Because I know that Jessica specifically has helped multiple get out of unhealthy
situations
like that. So I know she knows people.
Yeah.
But also you could reach out to authorities. Mm-hmm. They'll believe you.
Yeah.
You start, I mean, you just keep track of things.
Yeah. Fight and I mean, for yourself. Yes. Like, you have to, because even if you feel alone, you have to fight for yourself.
And church, don't turn some woman away and say, well, there's no way he's doing that. Yes. She's the crazy. Don't let him turn it around that she's the crazy one. I mean, maybe she is, but you don't know that.
Yeah.
You better take it seriously.
Yeah. There should be conversations to be had from the wife, from the husband, from the kids, anybody involved. You know, don't just, you know, sweep it under the rug because the church will fall apart without our pastor. If this happens and it's going to make the news and we'll lose all of our members, which means we'll lose all of our money.
Or what about the testimony of the church?
Yes.
And we're going to hurt. I'm sorry, but God is bigger than the testimony of the church. And yes, I do believe that we can hurt with our actions, but it hurts worse when people find out there was a problem and you didn't address it.
Exactly.
But if we started addressing the problems and calling out the sin, maybe people would actually want to be a part of that.
I think that's more of the testimony. I think the enemy has made us think that we're ruining the testimony, but actually we would be helping the testimony if we started to use the Matthew 18 principle on
Bring
the people that are in charge, no matter what the outcome, you know, because God will get glorified. He promises that. If you're doing what he tells you, do not worry about what the people think.
Right.
Do not worry about who's going to pay your bills. Do not worry about any of that. Like, it is about the person. Mm-hmm. But then the only last thing I would say is, if there is a man and he is doing bad things, but he's preaching from the pulpit, then you need to make sure that also you don't just throw him to the wayside. And I've seen this happen as well. Remember that they are human. Mm-hmm. And even if they are doing absolutely horrible things, they do need to be, you need to get them to step down from what they're doing. But then, like, help them go get counseling. Yes, he's got to leave the church, but, like, help lovingly know that he's human and he's doing bad things, but he also needs help. Mm. Don't just completely turn your back.
Because, like you would do with any other church member. Yes,
exactly.
Yeah. Or you should be doing.
You should be doing, for sure. Well, we pray this episode, even though it's got a lot of opinions, we gave our opinions on a lot of things, but we do want you to test with scripture everything that we said. Talk to Jesus about it. Talk to other people about it. But take what you heard and apply it if you think that it's okay, because we do want the church to thrive. And in these days, more than ever, we need a united body.
Yeah.
And if we have sin rampant in our church, then the enemy thinks he's going to win. We know he's not. He's already lost. Mm-hmm. But let's not give him a foothold. Let's be united. Let's hold people accountable. And also, like Jenna said, to remember everyone is human and to start loving them and praying instead of all the judgment.
Yep.
So anyways, we love you guys.
And until next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, friends, if you have enjoyed this episode as much as we have, please help us spread the word on Facebook and Instagram.
If you didn't know yet, Instagram is where all the fun is at. From dance reels on Wednesdays to spiritual encouragement and laugh out loud posts in between, there is something for everyone.
And last but certainly not least, if you could take a moment right now to stop what you're doing and give us a rating and review, even subscribe to our podcast, this seriously helps other people find us who wouldn't be able to otherwise. Thank you so much for your love and support. We hope you'll tune in next week.